And one YDY.
Yes, hi. I just wanted to say thank you. I really do appreciate the way you run these nets, and you know, I think you do a great job.
Thank you very much, Hank. I do appreciate it. You know, it's incredibly big shoes I'm trying to fit into, I appreciate your words.
Okay, have a good night, sir.
Likewise. Be safe, and maybe we'll talk again next Sunday.
N1YDY clear.
This is AC2LR, ditto, great net, very interesting topics tonight. Thank you, everybody.
RDK, thanks for that, and before I might be turning another dial over there. 73, have a good night. WS2N clear.
W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater.
Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
The time is 12:04 a.m. 73 and good night from the W2VL repeater. The time is 12:04 a.m. 73 and good night from the W2VL repeater. That tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
This is the W2VL repeater. Good morning. The time is 5:00 a.m.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
This is KB2 VBN. Monitoring the frequency. Monitoring the frequency.
W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater.
Fly Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
N2YYC.
N2YYC, KDQKNH. Good morning.
YYC, good morning. How are you? How am I making a repeater? I'm out at Watch Hill and Flare Island.
Oh, you're coming through fine. No complaints here. just backed into a parking spot of the call. I wanted to get back here. I didn't hear anybody else coming back, but yeah, you're definitely making it.
All right, thanks. Looks like it should be a nice deck. 7372YYC.
Have a great day. A little bit of a buzz on, you know, in the background, but you know, you're 90% there or better. KD2KD is clear. 73.
Morning. WA2CDL. Hello, guys.
Hello, Andy. I gotta run. Good morning and goodbye.
Hey, get back to me later, Charlie, because I got some radio stuff to sell. I'm a silent key, so I got quite a bit. So let me know, and maybe we can make a deal.
Absolutely. Gotta run. I'll call you in a little bit. KB2KB is clear again.
Okay, see you later. Hello to Howard.
What's the HF radio.
73-100 ICOMs. ICOM 7300. 7800. I keep getting the numbers mixed up. 7800.
Is that a older radio or new?
No, it's new. It's one of the latest ones, and it's software-defined SDR radio.
Oh, very nice. Yeah, I haven't played one of those yet. Have you?
Yeah, it's all right. I played with it. Also, I have a desk mic for it also, which is an option. just interesting, and you don't even know. No, you don't need much power. You don't need much amplitude. When you think about it, you know, when you think about what is amplitude in the first place? Oh, somebody just came on. So I see myself coming in on a piece of wire. You take a wave, you launch it into free space, and it travels all the way to Pennsylvania and further. So I guess if I took an antenna and held it up to the moon, if I was on the moon, I would hear that signal. Right through free space. No, the point is, it's an interesting law how that works.
Oh, yeah. Actually, a couple of hundred years ago, that's exactly what Heinrich Hertz said when he was able to create sparks across the room. Only you're just saying that, when you step back a little and look at the big picture, for him it was brand new. Howard's been very quiet.
And to YYC, I'm in the middle of breakfast. I'll pick it up there.
Andy, what happened?
No, I just took a pause. So, yeah, and I guess when you think about it, light, as we see light, you know, as we see things with our eyes, light also travels from point A to point B. The interesting thing about light, or the interesting thing about what we see at night, the stars, from the instant that the light leaves a planet or a star, and I'm just using those words, you know, just a reference point. You look up at the sky, at a very dark sky, and you see all these stars, which we call stars, which we never explored, because we were never up there, but even the faintest ones that we could see, how many light years did it take for that particular light, the instant it left, to reach us, standing on top of the Earth, and of course I'm just making up these words, standing on top of the Earth and just looking at the light that's emitted, how many years it takes for that to occur. When you think about it, that's incredible itself, because there's a certain finite time. Since light travels at a certain speed, and of course that could be calculated, and how many years it takes, and all of a sudden we see it from instant to instant to instant to instant, from moment to moment to moment to moment, and on it goes. That's really something too.
I hate to steal your thunder, Andy, but you're not being original. The very things you're saying, slightly differently, date back to the history of written communication. The ancient philosophers, in their own way, said the same thing. This ain't new.
No, I know it's not new. I'm just making a statement that it's interesting that this actually occurs, and it does occur, and this is what we could see. But I bet you that if people just look up and they don't realize the things that I just said because they don't think about it. They just look up and they see light and they say, oh, okay, it's light. But they don't realize, you know, I'm not saying everybody, just some people anyway. I guess that's why they came out with that little nursery rhyme, twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. And I guess the wonderment is still there.
Of course, it's a necessary part of being a sentient human being, of being able to observe things around you and think about it. If you have the ability to observe things around you and you really think about it, your thoughts are inevitable. But you left out the bee, the 600-pound gorilla in the living room. The fact that the ionosphere reflects these waves like a mirror. That one came really out of the blue about 100 or so years ago.
Yeah, that's another phenomenon of things that have been created, yes. Now, I understand that. So, yeah, no, it's just interesting. I guess the only reason why I'm saying this, the whole discussion came out of the fact that I'm just taking a piece of wire and I'm putting an RF voltage. And, you know, why do they call it RF voltage? It's a voltage at a certain frequency, which we call radio frequency, RF. But it's just a frequency, because it's an AC voltage. Putting it on a piece of wire, and it just leaves that piece of wire and travels, and keeps traveling and traveling and traveling. And where it ends, nobody really knows.
It never ends. It just disappears into the background noise. You know, if you want to go down to minus, you know, 10,000 dBm, it should probably go out into intergalactic space, maybe even to the end of the universe. It never does end. It just gets weaker. Well, a lot of what you're saying reflects back on exactly what Hertz was thinking when he realized he could create sparks, you know, duplicate sparks across the room. It's the same idea. But to him, that must have been absolutely mind-blowing, to use a more common term. I have an answer for you. People have been talking for millennia about the existence of God. My take is this sort of stuff proves that there is a God, but that doesn't mean to say, I hope you don't hear that siren as an ambulance. I hope you don't, that doesn't necessarily mean to say that this God listens to your prayers or even that there's life after death. But my feeling is, by definition, that which created what you're talking about is defined as God, regardless of any of the other things that people are more concerned about.
WHCDO. Yeah. I understand that aspect of it. And the philosophical things about what we see, what we observe. But I guess, you know, I guess the man, you know, as us, we're always looking to explore different things, and like you said, I mean, the concept, the ideas that people came up with are not new. They're old. We know these because they've been explored, obviously. But I guess man always wanted to find ways of communication other than face to face, mouth to mouth. You know, you just standing alongside me and just talking, and I'm listening, and I'm talking, you're listening. So I guess going way back, you can think of different ways that man came up with these ideas of how to communicate. And one of the primitive ways of communication was using the drum. Didn't tribes that lived in mountainous areas used to communicate from one tribe to another in the valleys and the hills and the mountains by drums, by the sound of the drum, the beat of the drum? And there's a whole history with that. And then generating Morse code was another way, using light between ships. How did ships communicate between ships in early times? Didn't they use the light that they would come up with this code, which we call, well, Morse is one of the codes, but there's other codes that they used to flash light on and off, and The ship used to get the signal. Oh, there's a ship, and they communicate. The point is, we're always looking for different ways of communication, and even to this day, with the technology the way it is, we're still exploring different ways and different methods and different technologies of how to communicate and different ways, even though the concept is the same, but the radios that are designed, software-defined radios, is another example. So it goes on and on and on. Am I on the right track by saying that? Going back to the drum.
Of course you are. Of course you're right. And I have, in an amateurish way, studied that sort of thing and how it evolved over time. And I am wearing a cheap Timex watch on my left wrist. A few hundred years ago, countries were going to war for that. Because until the chronometer, i.e. a good watch, was invented in the 1700s, sailors were dying by the thousands because of navigation errors, because they understood about the concept of latitude and longitude. Latitude wasn't true, but without a good clock, you cannot know your longitude, and sailors died throughout for lack of that information.
Yeah, you know, I keep on forgetting, just refresh my memory, and I used to know, latitude is North Pole to South Pole, and longitude is the curvature around the center of the Earth is long, and latitude, of course, you know, they're at right angles to each other. One goes up and one goes east and west, one goes north and south. Which one is which? I keep forgetting.
If you take a limited area on a map, a classic Mercator projection that glosses over the fact that the Earth is a ball and not a flat plate, if the vertical lines are lines of longitude, which is as you draw east to west, and north to south, the horizontal lines on a Mercator map are latitude. Of course, latitude is, I believe, works out to about 69 miles per degree, pretty much around the Earth. You multiply 69 by 360, you get the circumference of the Earth. Longitude is about the same, but only at the equator, and it goes down to zero at the poles. Have I answered your question?
Yeah. Right. It's funny, I used to know this, but I haven't thought about it, and I forgot. Okay. Well, yeah, of course, to that. You have to come up with some concept. But even the in primitive times, another way of navigating was using astronomical ways of doing it by looking at the stars, and that was another concept. If you gaze at the stars, we were talking about stars earlier, so the stars will form a certain pattern that you use for navigation. So that would be another way of doing that. Am I right?
There is definitely an element to that. Definitely, but there are issues with it. Well, obvious one being, if you have a couple of cloudy days, you're no way off. Secondly, I think the math to do that fully. Latitude's fairly easy. Longitude's a tricky one. I think you can do that. Let me rephrase that. King George III, before his American colonies difficult, was involved in something. Let me let it drop. Hang on. About 30 years before the American Revolutionary War, When King George, you know, was a young king, he was interested in science and got involved. The British Admiralty put out a stupendous award to somebody who could develop a clock that would hold accuracy on a long sea voyage. But the idea is, going longitude, if you know what time it is on the prime meridian, longitude is easy. If you don't know what time it is on the prime meridian, it is orders of magnitude harder. It's not completely impossible. Latitude, all you really need to know is when the sun rises, when the sun sets, how high it goes in the sky, and what day of the year it is. Longitude is a lot trickier.
Yeah, exactly, because they're at right angles to each other, so one has to be calculated in depth compared to the others, exactly, like you say. Longitude is easy, latitude is harder, yes. I understand that. I once read that our famous Sir Isaac Newton, who came up with all these laws of physics that we all know about, I believe he actually designed and created a clock, I think it was that operated on water, the flow of water, some kind of water clock that I remember reading about. So he was playing around with this stuff also, which made sense. You recall that?
All right, I am here. Parting comments. One, you're backwards. Latitude is easier than longitude. Two, what Newton really, really did was Kepler. Let me take a minute. Johannes Kepler was a Catholic, a religious Catholic, who was wealthy, didn't have to work, dedicated his life to a study of the heavens to prove that the Earth is the center of the universe by careful observations of the planets. And after dedicating decades of his life to it, he was one of the few men in the history of this planet to admit publicly he was absolutely wrong and published his results. Let me let it drop. About 50 years later, Newton, having read and understood all of Kepler's work, tried to refine it and improve it further. And that's really Newton's claim to fame. And everything else comes out of that. By the way, when he started doing mathematical analyses, he realized mathematics was missing something. And he invented it. To this day, we call it calculus.
Yeah, W-H-S-E-D-O. Yeah, exactly. And yeah, he was the original, I think he originally came up with the calculus, although, who was the other physicist that got credit for it, and there was a rivalry between both of them? I forgot the other guy's name. Anyway, yeah, and I meant latitude. Latitude is, as opposed to longitude. Because I keep forgetting. Latitude goes from the equator to the north and south poles. Up 90 degrees. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Longitude is around the center of the Earth. Right. Okay, let me let you go because you're at your destination. And to be continued.
Were you thinking of Leibniz? Calculus is credited to Newton and Leibniz.
Yeah, that's the other guy. However you said it. Right. You got it.
Yeah, I know Newton was English. I mean, he was a really big shot at Oxford University. You know, Stephen Hawking held the title at Oxford that Newton had. And it more shows you how important Newton was rather than the other way around. Because it brings Newton into our time, and we understand just how important that was. Leibniz, I think, was German, but don't hold me to that. But somehow they cooperated. In those days, it could not have been a very rapid communication. All right, let me run. WB2EAV, gotta go.
Yeah, also, he died at a relatively young age. I think he passed away in his 60s, or maybe not even. Newton, I think, lived until his 80s, I think. Late 70s or so, early 80s, I believe. Yeah, by the way, I think he committed suicide or something. I think they said he died of, he got very depressed for whatever reason. All right, to be continued. I'll let you go. We'll continue, but Leibniz, yeah, he's the guy. See you later.
You enjoy. By the way, Isaac Newton was arguably the smartest man in history and just as arguably the most hated. I believe the best modern-day model that he was like was Steve Jobs. All right, WB2EAV gone.
I've dealt with depression before, but not in those kind of thoughts. KD2OGB Mobile, how you doing?
Okay. All right, Ed. I'll let you go. And, hello, Craig. Well, let's put it this way. Keep your depression to yourself. That's what they say. So, yeah. Now, these famous scientists, physicists, and so on, been many books written about them, including, you know, the invention of calculus, which, you know, as Ed just pointed out, yeah, he was hated. He wasn't well liked. And he became the chairman of the highest mathematical department in Oxford, as I just mentioned. I'm talking about Newton. But both of these guys were really into deep thoughts and other areas. They were both geniuses in their own aspect. But they didn't like each other. They respected each other, I think, to a degree, but they didn't like each other. Anyway, back to you.
Well, if he became chairman and he was all to be very popular, why was he hated so much?
Because there was a rivalry of who invented what first. You know, when it came to math, when it came to calculus, Leibniz, I'm not saying the word right, he came up with papers proving that, you know, describing calculus and how what it is and how to use it and how it works and so on. But that was after Newton itself came up with this, invented it and discovered it and thought about it and created it and so on. But he didn't submit any paperwork. I guess it was Leibniz who did. But that... So there was a rivalry between, you know, who invented what first. You know, it's like that kind of stuff. You know, like, I did it, not you. No, I did it, not you. You know, and back and forth. Stuff like that. So there was a rivalry there, to a degree. Interesting. All right, what else is going on?
So basically, it's like who can do better than the other. I've kind of dealt with situations like that before, back in carpentry, actually, but it was only, like, something very small that I thought I could probably do better, but apparently somebody else was able to do it a little bit better than me, and I directly admitted, fine, you win.
Yeah, well, I guess, you know, we're all competitive in our own ways, because that's also a nature. The nature of man is to be competitive. you know, and prove, okay, I can do this, and you can do that, and on it goes. And that's why we have sports. That's why we have teams, you know, so we can compete in a team. It's always fun, and we do it in a fun way. Of course, in real life, sometimes it's not so much fun, especially in politics. Because in politics, you got a lot of people competing against each other, but then they become enemies and everything else. All right, that's about it. Back to you. Are you working?
Roger that. On the way to Warner. Just got on to Sunrise. It's always tempting, especially with the government and especially with politics. People try to and eventually somebody will come out on top. But it's always head-to-head demolition. As far as competitive-wise, we all do that pretty much on a daily basis. Even ham radio is head-to-head. Nobody is ever perfect to anything. Eventually, somebody might be able to come up with a better solution than somebody else.
Craig, you got very noisy.
Because I'm on Glen Oaks. I'm like, wait a minute, why am I doing on Glen Oaks when I'm not even near Babylon yet?
Oh, you just switched over? Okay. Yeah, obviously you did, because now I hear you.
Anyway, as I was saying, it's always head-to-head demolition with government, politics. Everybody comes up with their ideas, and eventually someone's going to come out on top. Even with ham radio, we all have different ideas, and eventually not everyone's going to be perfect. It's only going to be one person that's going to have the best answer out there, and that's how it works. But it always plays demolition in ham radio, one way or another.
Yeah, WHCDL, yep. Yeah, I look back at my own life, and I ask myself, how and why did I get into this crazy hobby? I just say that. It's not really crazy, but of course. I was always fascinated when I was a kid, and I don't even know where this fascination came from. It was sort of like inborn. Maybe because my grandfather, or my great-grandfather, who I didn't even know, was into some mechanical things that I was told. But I was always interested and fascinated by gadgets. Even a simple electric fan. Going back to, let's say, when I was five, I remember staring at the fan sort of like with the fascination of, what is this thing? It's making wind, it blows air, but how does it work? Or some fascination that I had for it. And then playing around with plugs and wires and not really knowing what electricity is. All I know is that my mother always said, don't touch that socket because you're going to get a shock. And I didn't even know what a shock is. but I understood it enough to stay away. I was afraid of it. But I was curious about it. So with this curiosity, you know, it just existed. And then when I started reading books, in elementary school, going to the library, and instead of just reading story books about stories, I would read books about little circuits and transistors and things. What is that? What is a transistor? So one thing led to another, and that's how things got interested in this. Basically, the breakthrough came when I wanted a shortwave radio, because I was told if you listen to the radio, you can hear things. So I listened to the radio and I heard people talking, and I said, who's talking? So I didn't know at the time. I was actually listening to the CB, Citizens Band, down on 27 megs. I was listening to a conversation. I happened to have a neighbor on the block who was a CBO, and I didn't even know it because I didn't look until I met him. And I was jealous, like, wow, look what you could do. You could talk.
Repeater, timeout. Repeater, timeout, cancel.
Stuff, guess what? I'm a huge fan of electrical stuff. And you're wondering what a fan can do, huh? Well, that's dependent on the laws of physics, and it's also tied into aerodynamic features of a fan. That's what you gotta look up. CB-wise, I have my Firefly stick under my bed, and I still have my CB radio that I was given by somebody at Home Depot, and another person apparently gave me another CB-er, which I never even bothered to install in my truck. And I have it either in the garage or under my bed to this day. Never even had a chance to hook it up to the car.
All right, yeah, sorry, I have a tendency to talk too long, so I timed it out, but I... listening to myself, so I, you didn't miss anything. Yep, that's good. It's good to know how a fan works. A simple fan. But I did get on CB because I did get a CB radio for as a present. And boy, was I in my glory. Wow. Like, a radio and a microphone that I can actually talk. And of course, I don't remember the first person that I ever spoke to, but I might have said something like, what am I supposed to say? And maybe I was shy, maybe I was not, I don't remember, to get in front of a microphone and just start saying something. So, and then of course, you know, one thing led to another, but yeah, I guess it was a fascination, but I was always interested in the technical end of it. And learning about how things work, and still do, although my problem is I've gotten older, and as I get older, my brain slows down as things speed up, so I can never catch up. I used to know things back then that I've forgotten because I don't use it, but that's the way it is. Justice in the American way. All right, back to you, Craig. WHUCDO. Go ahead.
WHUCDO, KD2OGB Mobile in Iceland. It's pretty much competition everywhere, Andy, and yes, you always want to find how things work. And as much as how learning how a fan works, it's like learning the aerodynamics of a fan. As a matter of fact, if you really want to test what a fan can really do, and you want to know who could probably win, put two objects in front of a gigantic fan and then raise the speed as fast as you can supply power. Who do you think will win?
Wait, I didn't quite follow what you said because I was thinking of something else, but I'm not sure because I didn't listen. Who would win? Raise the speed of two fans? Is that what you said? Something like that? I was actually thinking of the motor of the fan, of how a motor turns, and you know, and that's an interesting technology of motors. You know, you could read a lot of books about motors because there's so many different types of motors. You know, what makes the fan turn in the first place? How does that happen? You know, so if you want to get into that, I was thinking of that while you were talking. So sorry, I was distracted.
Common.
But yeah, it's great to find how fans work. I even liked them in my childhood as well. As a matter of fact, when I sleep, I lay right under a fan, even though it's hitting my legs and not my face. But at the same time, I have another fan in my window, and it's pretty much just full air circulating throughout the room.
Okay, we got a comment out there. Yeah, fans, well... We didn't have air conditioners back then, so we lived in an apartment. We had to keep cool somehow in the summertime, and my parents had, they had a window fan. It was a dual fan, two fans side by side, that would be sort of rectangular shape that would go into the window, on the window sill, and they would open up the window, and you would have it so it either blows air in or exhausts air out, depending on which way. And I believe, if I recall my memory, I think the fan was reversible with a switch. I think with a switch you could reverse the direction of the fan, so you could make it either or, either the fan going clockwise or counterclockwise, depending on, you know, what you want to do with it. I think it had that feature. But that was fascinating. Noisy and fascinating. Comment, go ahead, WHCDO.
Good morning, fellow hamsters. Andy, this is KD2FHI. And listening to you speak, I can really come to one conclusion, that you're here to make the world safe by ham radio.
Oh, yeah, how you doing? The world safe? Maybe. But you have to clarify what you mean.
Andy, I'm kidding. You are very good at it, though. What I mean to say is that whatever you do, you have made the world safe first. Ham radio, in other words, your technical know-how, I mean, I'm getting into the weeds. It's meant as a comic statement, but in a complimentary way.
Oh, yeah, I got that. Thanks. Yeah, I've played around. Unfortunately, you know, as I get older, as I said before, my memory is not as good, and I'm more forgetful. So it can go in one ear and come out the other. And I say, what did you just say? I get that way, but The way that I learn, I guess, is the way most people learn, is not by reading books and getting into just book reading, but actually doing things. Working with my hands and building something or trying to build something. And I guess I've always been a visual type of person, even when I read books. And I was never a good book reader. Because of the way I am, it was hard for me to concentrate on a long, long book. I mean, I could read, but to stay focused on it was a little bit hard. But actually, using my hands to build something and staying focused with that was a lot easier. And you know, gave me the opportunity to learn how to do that. To obtain the skills to build. And I've done a lot of building, and it was a lot of fun. And I still like to do it. That's something that just never left me, is building things. And, you know, trying something out, trying something new. I used to fix bicycles when I was in my teens, by the way. I took bicycles apart and put them back together again, and I actually made my first motorbike, which I did myself. I actually took a lawnmower engine and I mounted it on a bicycle, and I got the parts for it and put it together, and I used to give my sister rides on my little motorbike in the street. And that was a lot of fun. Imagine that. You know, pressing an accelerator and not even having to pedal, and the bike just moves. And I can go to a good speed too with that. Craig, over to you.
City to OGB Mobile, taking the Ram tour at Montauk Highway in Babylon. Yeah, I've seen people do that with bikes. And you say that you're getting more and more forgetful. You actually need to try your best not to be forgetful, Andy, because I've got somebody that I'm watching over right now that has a very, very bad forgetful habit, and that can happen as you get older. You want to know how really bad it is? They'll eat something, and then 5 minutes later, they won't even remember what they last ate, and they'll go back for more.
All right, well, that's an extreme. I don't have that issue. Thank God I know what I'm eating. And, I mean, you know, it's plus many different aspects of forgetfulness. So, Okay, that's the way it is. I'm just trying to think I guess things that that I did when I was younger. But I don't know. You forget. All right, back to you. KB2FHI, WHCDL. Go ahead.
Real quick, I'm going to hop off here, you guys, because as soon as I go under the trestle to park, I'm going to lose you two. So you guys carry on. KD2OGB and mobile in the group is out and clear.
Okay, this is KD2FHI. Well, I was just listening to you two, and that's why I made that comment, more to lighten up the conversation a little bit. Actually, what he was talking about... that's dementia, and that individual needs to be diagnosed. And I know that personally because my mom ended up developing dementia, and those are the absolute signs of those things. In any case, on a lighter moment, so, Andrew, everything good with you?
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, I was going to say dementia, but I hold off. No, I don't have dementia. I know what I have for breakfast 5 days ago, too, let alone an hour or two. Short-term memory, forgetfulness, or long-term memory, you know, that happens with age. So, everything's good. Everything's fine. All right, I'm going to go also because I gotta make a phone call. I was waiting to after 10 o'clock, and it's after 10 o'clock, so we gotta call and see what's going on. So, I will talk to you soon.
Okay, sounds good. Just one quick question. Were you able to do that a further testing? Because I know you said you were gonna leave it on for a longer period of time to see if what I had explained to you actually did happen on your watch.
Nope, not yet. No, that's going to take a little bit more time.
Okay, I understand. And, I'll call you about the other thing some other time, maybe later today. You have a good one. Enjoy. It's beautiful out. It's warm out, but it's beautiful, so enjoy your day. This is KD2FHI signing.
I want to take advantage of the weather while we have it, where we can spend time outdoors. That's a good thing. Yep. All right. Give me a call. I'm around. WHCDL. Talk to you soon.
KD2FHI, C2ZS.
W2VL repeater.
This is KB2VBN monitoring the frequency.
Limark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater.
W2OSR.
Hey, Bob. N1YDY. How are you?
Ah, good morning, and how are you doing, sir?
About actually to run out the door, but I heard your call, so I'd say hello.